You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. I was there yesterday.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on it. Number 1.
What is your letter grade for the Cubs' moves at the trade deadline?
See, I need to see more. I don't know what's happening here. What was all that talk from Bruce Levine about how they were going to trade for a starting pitcher any day now? And here's the thing. I know Bruce, and I know he doesn't jump to conclusions.
Wow.
In fact, let's rewind to a previous note Bruce told us about event-wise here in this city in 2027. You feel me? Bruce gets good information. He disseminates information that is good. So what happened? And like Jed Hoyer said, there were some starting pitchers who simply weren't available. But then you heard guys like Dave Dombrowski say, here's our price for X, Y, and Z, and here's what we needed. Did we spend more because we addressed a specific need? Yes. Are we happy with the need being addressed for multiple years in Johan Duran, for example? Yes. And apparently the Twins were selling everything. At this point, I think they were probably selling that neon sign shaped like Minnesota in Target Field at the rate they were going yesterday. People were available. You had to get creative, but you also had to know that your price was not going to be their price. And that's my issue.
My grade for the Cubs on the trade deadline is C-.
Woo, you need to see more than me.
Well, yeah, here's why. Because there was a window here to go out and get definitive top flight relief help.
Would you say they went from a window to hitting a wall?
I don't know if they went from the window
to the wall.
I don't know what's falling from Justin Turner's prosthetic. I don't know any of that. What I will tell you is
the radio thought is over.
What I will tell you is this.
670 The Score, unhinged, hinged, hinged.
The Cubs now have a situation in which they are going to depend more on their offense than they should have to. And what I mean by that is they have several players, if you look at it, on their team who are having career seasons. Carson Kelly with a WAR of 3.2 and an OPS plus of 148. Michael Busch with a WAR of 3.5 and an OPS plus of 154. Pete Crow Armstrong with a WAR of 6.4 leading the National League and an OPS plus of 147. That's three different players who have been playing a lot that have helped them have the best offense in the National League. I don't know if it is sustainable. What I do know is this. Now, without adding an elite starting pitcher, which is all I asked for. They did get a starter, by the way. Michael Soroka starting on Monday.
Technically, you asked for two.
Yes. I asked for two.
And you weren't wrong in that.
They got one.
You weren't wrong in that.
Yeah, I know. I was completely right. Get an elite one, get a back-end one. The back-end one they got is Michael Soroka. They're answer to my request was to say, oh, you need two starting pitchers? We'll get you a Javier Assad and a return of Jameson Taillon sometime in the next month. That was what their answer is. My point is this. The Cubs can still win the World Series, but what you're asking for is ridiculous because it's the same thing that was asked for if you go back to a certain interview with one Paul Sullivan in which Jed Hoyer said he needed players to exceed the expectations. And that is putting a lot of pressure on an offense, especially going up against elite pitching when the playoffs start. So, yeah, C minus. That's what you get.
Five on it. Number two.
We started on the north side. Let's go to the south side. What is your letter grade for the White Sox moves at the deadline?
D minus. You had one job. You had one job, and you didn't do the job. But you did another job, which was like half the job. So, D minus. Because you get some credit for trading Adrian Houser. That was the right thing to do for the organization. I am sorry that Luis Robert is not going to be the man on this team that we thought he was going to be. I am sorry. I'm probably more sorry than most people are about it because y'all know how I feel. And I had the Trust the Prospects t-shirt, and I hosted White Sox pre- and post-game, and I talked to Ozzie Guillen about what we thought Luis Robert looked like, who he could be. And Ozzie at the time, said he ran like Andrew Jones. And I remember how happy the hosts were of this midday show, seeing him glide in the outfield effortlessly and how much we saw the pop in the bat. But you know what? Andrew Vaughn should teach you a lesson. The timing matters. Timing has a price. And sometimes you're going to have to sell low on people who, unfortunately, were low for you for an extended amount of time. $20 million is his option. You're now going to spend $20 million on somebody you probably should have sold because there were so few sellers and there were other teams who probably wanted him. And you guys know how I feel about that trade last year that bought you your fave player, Robbie, and Vidal Bruján. Miguel Vargas. And I thought to myself, even then, they needed more out of that trade when you gave up three proven big league talents in Eric Fetty, who just got DFA'd recently. So that was over a year of service you got with him if you were the Cardinals, and Tommy Pham, and then also Michael Kopech, who the Dodgers are expecting to be healthy, and that's part of the reason they didn't make as many moves at the deadline. You needed more. You needed an arm at least in that return, and that didn't happen. So you know what? Now you have a zero-sum game by keeping Luis Robert. I don't think he's going to be his best self here. And then you could have gotten something to help your club years down the line, which is what you should be doing the year after you had the worst record in baseball history. One job.
My grade is a little bit higher. My grade is C+. Here's why my grade is C+. I didn't know Austin Slater was going to bring you anything back, but they got something back for Austin Slater. Also, they got more than one player for a guy named Adrian Houser. I'm good with that. As far as Luis Robert Jr., I think we're on two sides of the fence on this. I'm sorry. $20 million to pick up the option next year? Is that my money? Is that your money? No. Yeah. Do they have plenty of money to spend with their $73 million payroll?
Do you know what $20 million means to them?
But let's say Luis Robert Jr. was a free agent. How much do you think he would make in a one-year deal? I think he would make around $20
million. I think he would make less than that.
I think it depends on what he does the rest of 2025, and that's my point. A guy who's hitting .353 so far and with a .990 OPS post-All-Star break, I'm going to go ahead and let him go out there and rebuild his value up and then trade him in the offseason. I'm very comfortable with that because, again, the $20 million, not my money. The White Sox, they've got plenty of money, even if they don't want to spend it all. I think this makes the most sense for Chris Getz, at least get something of value. You look around at what teams were rumored to be interested in him, the New York Mets, who ended up with Cedric Mullins. The Baltimore Orioles gave them the number 14 prospect, or got back the number 14 prospect, the number 30 prospect, and a 22-year-old undrafted free agent. That's not moving the needle. Harrison Bader, that's who went to the Phillies from the Twins. There was nothing out there that says, oh, this package, they definitely should have traded Luis Robert Jr. to get back that package. I think they can get more in the offseason. Let's see how it plays out. And if they don't, they don't. But I think it's worth the gamble of keeping him on the roster, letting him play. And also, I think he can be a helpful member to this charge for a plus 500 record post-All-Star break. By the way, they're 8-4.
What trophy do you get for that?
I think you get an understanding that your core players next year have a sense of what winning actually feels like, and I think that has
value. You think
value.
Luis Robert, who's been on a playoff team, doesn't know what that is?
No, not Robert. I'm talking about the other guys. Robert will be gone at the end of the season. I'm talking about the other guys.
Number three.
Five on it with Raheemy and Harris continues on 670 The Score with this question. Which team won the MLB trade deadline? Which team was the biggest trade deadline loser?
Okay, am I crazy? Yes, but am I crazy in saying this? The team where I knew what the objective was, what I knew what the assignment was, what I suddenly realized, you could argue Minnesota won because they clearly wanted to deal everybody. And they made people pay for it. I mentioned the Twins, and I know that sounds wild.
They picked a lane.
They 100% decided what they were going to do. They were going to, I think, try to get rid of anybody who was making any sort of money. The Carlos Correa thing went from shooter shoot to that's why shooter shoot, because they were able to unload his salary. They were able to move him in a way that put him back on the Astros. They improved. So I wonder if it's the Twins. I know that sounds crazy, but there were so few sellers that you really had the chance to improve your team for years. And they made really definitive decisions in order to be able to do so.
I think the biggest winner might be the, I don't know what to call their city, Athletics. To get the number three prospect in all of baseball in a year in which you know you're not going to the playoffs in Leo DeVries, I think that's got to be rewarded. Yes, they did have to give up Mason Miller, who is phenomenal.
It was only a matter of time. But it was only a matter. You knew that guy as soon as he got good, they were going to trade him.
But if you're the A's, you've had a very succinct formula in how you compete. You get good young talent and then trade them at the end of their at the end of their team control. And I think getting DeVries at 18 years old, who's doing pretty well in high A right now. I know it's a long ways away from the big leagues, but it's pretty consensus that he's a top five prospect in all of baseball. I think that's the move. I like all the other winners, as it were, whether it's the Mets, the Phillies, we've been over that, the Padres, the other National League teams who solidified their problems maybe in a better way than the Cubs did, because those teams all have pitching. They already have top flight starting pitching. And the Padres almost dealt Dylan Cease at the deadline as well. There were conversations there. But I think that's the biggest winner is the A's. The biggest loser, I'm going to say the biggest loser from where I'm sitting, it's the Cubs. Because you had an opportunity. You have a window with Kyle Tucker. And if Kyle Tucker does not re-sign, they will look back at this as an opportunity missed. Unless they go ahead and find a way to win the World Series based on their offense and someone getting really, really hot as a starting pitcher on the mound.
So 217 said the Twins went all out instead of all in, which I actually also agree with.
I can appreciate
that. That's a great line. I didn't mention the biggest loser for me. And I think I'm looking at it such from a seller's standpoint, because you knew who the teams were supposed to be who sold. Yeah, and that piece of it for me is really what was definitive. Padres, I think you can make the argument that they won a trade deadline, but I grade them differently because AJ Preller loves to make transactions.
And he does his own
thing. If AJ Preller could trade my headphones, he would get it done. And you know what? He'd get an arm in the deal, because that's how you do it. And some of his trades look silly, but it doesn't matter. He keeps going. Because he picks a lane.
Somehow they always find more prospects to trade later.
So I think it might be the White Sox, because I think, again, the timing matters.
Whoa.
And when you can't deal Luis Robert, when he will be better on another team, and you know that by the time you're good, he won't be, then you had to make a decision, a tough one there for you, and you didn't do it.
So just to confirm, the Raheemy and Harris stance on the trade deadline was Chicago lost the deadline.
I think the White Sox were fine at the deadline. They were average. They were fine.
I have to push back on the Cubs one. Like, I understand they didn't get the star that we all wanted or that front line, but they got better. Like, they did, in fact, get better. We can't say they lost.
They got marginally better.
But also,
marginally better.
Let me just introduce a team here to where, you know, I said, hey, this is your stance and you should have it, and that's why I reward you, and this is you, and I reward you for being consistent XYZ. What are the Angels doing? Why did they decide to become buyers? Like, this is delusion, isn't it? Like, think about the entire division of the AL West and how the Rangers leveled up their starting rotation, even though it's good. The Astros got Carlos Correa back. The Mariners got Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor. And then the Angels are like, oh, yeah, we're still in it. What?
The Angels are 4.5 games out of a wild card. And that's why I said
they got Andrew Chafin.
But what I'm saying is that's why I said the A's are the clear winner, because they recognize there's four other teams way better than us in our division. We're not going anywhere. We are selling and getting big-time prospects back. Who else got a big-time prospect back?
But why did the A's decide that they were buyers? Like, what about that says to them, we can do this?
They're 4.5 out. They're not out of it.
Look at their division. Like, you're trying to figure out multiple wild cards out of their division.
It's possible. Could have three teams out of the NL Central, too.
Angels. What? What?
They've won three of the last four.
Number four.
Permanent decisions based on temporary feelings.
Back-to-back series wins over the Mariners and the Rangers, who also play in their division.
Question number four here on Five on It. Let's move over to football. The Bears have the day off today, but let's recap the week. What do you think was the most significant development at training camp this week?
I think it was growth. I think it was how they were able to capitalize on mistakes that were made, because they know that it's going to be ugly before it gets pretty. And no better example of that to me than the arc of Luther Burden's camp, which is not very big. But when you had a rough day and you get aggregated by the aggregators on Twitter, and it's like, oh, he got chewed out and he got kicked off that field. So did the entire first team offense last week. So when you consider that, way to go to not just come out there and impress, but show why they drafted you where they did. And even though there might be what appears to be a lot of positional perhaps redundancy, we don't necessarily know that yet because of how the offense looks, then you want to show people what you can do, especially as a rookie when you haven't had the opportunities that everybody else has had to get on the field. I love that whole thing. Take your negative, turn it into a positive, and it's encouraging for me to see that.
I just like the idea that we're getting a level of transparency, not just from that Luther Burden incident, what happened there with him not knowing how to line up on a play and then getting off the field and then coming back and having very strong practice and looking great. But Caleb Williams, this time last week, we were all really, really worried about Caleb Williams. That seems to have cooled off. And when I say we were really, really worried, I mean as worried as we could be for a team that had not put on pads yet. Now they've put on pads. Caleb starting to show some of that growth that you were just talking about. And I feel good about where this team is headed under Ben Johnson offensively. Still got a lot of questions about Dio and them's on defense. I have a lot of questions. I don't think they're going to be answered until there's an opposing team on the field. But the biggest thing is what Ben Johnson got hired to do, make this team dynamic offensively, it seems to be happening.
Break the eggs, Ben Johnson. Break the eggs.
Make the omelet. Make that thing fold over nice and neat, not the scramble stuff we've been watching.
Not just make the donuts, just break the eggs. It's spendy, it's slightly dangerous in 2025, but the payoff.
Number five.
I'm looking at the weather right now. Fifth question here in Five on It with Raheem and Harris. I'm looking at the weather right now.
Gorgeous.
Looking at the weekend slate.
Just don't
today,
breathe.
Sunny, high of 75.
Love it.
Saturday, sunny, high of 78. Sunday, high of 79, sunny. To me, this is a perfect weather weekend in Chicago. But there's a lot of things happening in Chicago. The question is, are there too many things happening in Chicago this weekend?
Yes! I can't keep track of it all. Do you know it was just last night? The Fire White Party, the trade deadline, the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. I had a friend in town. I had another friend in town for Golden Boy Boxing because there's a fight over the weekend. Like, that was just Thursday. Apparently on Wednesday, there was a Premier League or like some soccer team party at Tao, and Jeezy performed. Jeezy's here for multiple weekends in a row. That was Wednesday. Like, I can't keep track.
Golden Boy Boxing being the Oscar De La Hoya boxing promotion, right?
Correct. Yes, not exactly. Tom Brady was here. Luka Doncic is here. Half of Luka Doncic is here. I can't keep up.
I think we're missing the biggest one that is happening here this weekend, though. That would be Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza is quite the event happening.
I couldn't tell by all the streets shut down as I walked home down Michigan Avenue and then all of the people that had hardly any clothing on. I couldn't tell it was Lollapalooza, but then that makes sense.
And I guess Luke Combs was at Lolla last night.
I left the radiothon at the end of Lolla, and Marshall, I concur. There was a lot of that.
Well, and Olivia Rodrigo is tonight, I believe. And guess what? You've heard him in our open. Tyler, the Creator, also appearing at Lolla.
Yeah, he was last night.
Yes.
But to answer your question, is there too much going on this weekend? Absolutely not. It is summer in Chicago, and this is what we signed up for, and I'm here for it. Remember, the only reason it gets cold in the winter months is to, A, keep us humble, because otherwise we'd be talking that mad noise, and also to keep us from being overpopulated. That's why people don't live in Chicago. They visit in the summertime. It's the best domestic place in the intercontinental United States to visit. Chicago.
We're working on the title. You know, we're working on the pitch. Best domestic place in the intercontinental 48 to visit.
Yeah, I was doubling down on the fact that we're in America and there's no better city to be in the summertime than Chicago.
I could argue against Hawaii and Alaska pretty easily right now because some random earthquake happens and things get dicey.
A lot of people don't know what a tsunami is, Layla. I'll stand by that.
Yeah, I found that out recently. Even when the warnings are issued.
Yep.
Heed the warnings. Heed them.
Marshall, what you just said about Chicago, though, gave me goosebumps for the weekend. I'm ready to go.
What are you going to do?
Robbie, go jump in the lake.
And not to mention, we just had Crane Kenny tell you about the demand for this Cubs series, by the way, over at Wrigley.
That game tomorrow is going to be insane.
Exactly.
And for good reason.
So I think the moral of the story is yes, there's too much going on in town this weekend.
No, there's keep it coming.
No, I want to do it all. I can't.
That
there's
Friday
only one
beer
Layla.
Is going to slap. Let me tell you, it's going to slap.
I'll definitely spend the night on my couch after saying all that.
Like Gabe Ramirez, Gabe is the best example. How many activities does Gabe have this weekend? The answer is 75.
I turned on Hulu and watched the Lollapalooza post show last night with Gabe, hosted by our guy Gabe Ramirez.
And guess who told me about the fire white party? Gabe Ramirez. If look at Gabe's calendar, and that's how you know there are too many things happening this weekend. Because Gabe is everywhere,
that's
so
fair.
How many everywheres does he have to be in?
Omnipresent that man is.
There's a Gabe-verse, okay? It's like a universe, but there's multiple of them, which is why it's Gabe. That's how I judge how many events there should be going on in town. Okay, I'll break, but only if I've convinced you of one thing, and that is Gabe Ramirez is the arbiter of how many events there should be at any given time. He is my president. Coming up next here on Rahimi and Harris on the Score, how about we get you ready for some Cubs baseball? Should we do it?
Starting lineups. Guess who's batting eighth? Actually, don't guess.
Guess
we'll tell you in a moment.
Batting eighth. Tell your friends. Bye.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rahim.
Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why'd you do it, Robbie? Hey, how do you feel about the Tigers trading for 41-year-old Charlie Morton?
I felt like that was an opportunity missed by the Cubs.
No, the Cubs
held off.
People
forget we have the best pitcher and the best manager in baseball. We're going to be just fine.
You know what's funny is, speaking of that, ESPN apparently has just come out with their ranking all 32 NFL teams, coaching staffs, and coordinators in 2025. Would you like to know who's number one? Robbie.
Number one team?
Yeah.
Coaching? Yep. Sure, Lions. Yeah, why not?
Nope.
No, they lost their offensive and defensive coordinator.
Oh, shoot. Darn.
And I did watch part of that game last night because, again, I say there's too much going on this weekend.
Yeah, the Super Bowl's done for the Lions.
So who is number one?
Kenny, don't click that.
Minnesota! Kevin O'Connell, Wes Phillips, Brian Flores. Brian Flores is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can see why that works.
So KOC and Minnesota are number one. Number two is Kansas City. Three is the 49ers, yada, yada, yada. Four is Baltimore Ravens.
How far do we have
to go? Five is the Rams. Where are the Lions?
Well, I'm very interested about the Bears here.
The Lions are number 11.
That's fine.
The Raiders are ahead of them. The Packers are ahead of them. The Packers are number 10.
Pete Carroll's pretty good.
No one gives Dan Campbell credit. I think he's actually a smart guy instead of the meatball everyone thinks he is.
But it's also the offensive and defensive coordinators being brand new.
No, I understand.
You could also be a smart meatball. Ozzie Guillen ring a bell?
Layla, where are the Bears?
I'm scrolling.
That's a lot of scrolling you're doing.
Number 20 is the Patriots.
They're behind the Patriots?
21 is the Browns.
They're not behind the Browns.
22 is the Bears.
Wait, what? That's so disrespectful.
Is it though? I mean, it's a first-time head coach situation. So
it's not a first-time defensive coordinator situation.
No, but
it is a first-time offensive coordinator situation.
Right.
Declan Doyle.
If it makes you feel any better, the Cowboys are number 28. This is according to Ben Solak, by the way. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Cowboys are 29. The Jets are 28.
Who's 32?
Let's see. The Giants.
Okay, that tracks.
Jaguars are 31. Saints are 30.
Yeah, the bottom of the barrel seems very bottom of the barrel appropriate.
The Bears are ahead of the Panthers. The Panthers are 23. And Solak's reasoning is, I would usually hesitate to stick to a first-time head coach this high, but I can't look you in the eye and face. I can't look you in the face and say I'd rather have the Cardinals or Panthers or Falcons staff over this group. No, you shouldn't either.
I would say this: the Bears now maybe in the coaches' room, a little bulletin board material, some chips on shoulders. Could be Doritos, Fritos, Lay's, whatever. Chips on shoulders. They should just tape chips to their shoulders.
I do think the rationale for the Vikings at number one, I think Sam Darnold bought a lot of people job security and made a lot of people a lot of money, including himself.
And now J.J. McCarthy can justify all the paychecks and the paydays that are being handed out.
The quote is, O'Connell has easily leaped into that utmost echelon of offensive designers. And Flores, and I do think this is true about Flores, he remains the cream of the defensive crop. Yes, Flores to me is top notch. There are always little things to wonder about. Scheming for a rookie is different from scheming for a veteran, even if that veteran had never been successful elsewhere, Darnold obviously. But there is no doubt that O'Connell and company elevate players more than any other coaching staff in football. So I wanted to pass that along since we had a little bit of extra time before this Cubs game that we were getting you ready for here on The Score. And by the way, about that Cubs game, It's opening against the Royals today. Pre-game coverage is moments away at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. We have a lineup, as I understand, as well.
Oh, we have a lineup. Cubs, Orioles. It's Trevor Rogers on the hill with his 4-1 record and his 1.49 ERA for the Orioles against Cade Horton, who has been pretty good of late, 4-3 overall, 3.67 ERA, 50 strikeouts. Batting leadoff playing second base is Nico Horner against the lefty Trevor Rogers. Batting second, playing right field, Kyle Tucker. Batting third, DHing, is Seiya Suzuki. Batting the cleanup spot and playing catcher is Carson Kelly. Pete Armstrong will hold down the five hole. He will play center field. Dansby Swanson back in the six hole, playing shortstop. In the seven hole, it's Ian Happ playing left field. In the 8 hole, but against a lefty, it's Michael Busch playing first base. And in the 9 hole, holding down the third base spot, it is not the recently acquired utility man, Willie Castro. It is Matt Shaw, who they want to keep cooking, as it were.
Yeah, he needs to. Like, I hope the day off did not come at a bad time for him, as he is young. That is absolutely the goal. So let's hear from Craig Counsell ahead of this Cubs game here on The Score.
Hey, good. Sorry I didn't see you, Bruce. Hmm? Sorry I didn't see you. Sorry I didn't stop down. Yeah, I mean, I think we successfully added to, like, the foundation of this team, and I think this is a good baseball team, and we've strengthened it, and that's what's important, and that's what we've done. And I love this day because, like, this is our group. You know, we get to go. This is the group that we're going forward with. And I think for the guys in the room, that's a really good feeling. Like, that's my message to them today, is that, like, this is who we're gonna have the fun with, man. You know, this is who we're gonna go through it with. And we got a great 3 months ahead of us, and starts today.
And you got a pretty good player here in Castro. Is that maybe an underscored big move for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, we've played a very regular group, lineup, right? And we've asked a lot of those guys, and we've been fortunate. They've been healthy. We've been fortunate there. I think, you know, Willie's a really good player, and he has a skill set that's kind of rare in this league, in that he's capable of playing infield and outfield and get regular at bats, and because he's a switch hitter. I think it covers us in a lot of places. But he also can, you know, be a regular if that needs to happen. And regardless, it's kind of a version of a sixth man, I guess, maybe is a good way to say it. And I think it's during this stretch of the season, it's going to be important.
Will you be sliding Stroka in the rotation, or have you decided that yet?
I think Mike's likely going to pitch on Monday. Michael.
And can he do both? Eventually?
He can get outs. Yeah, he's capable of getting outs in either role.
Do you have some familiarity with Mitch? What does he bring to this team, this bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're trying to do in the bullpen is just be every day have answers for the other lineup. So that's what having three lefties down there, I think, provides us. Be able to get them in, you know, good matchups as often as we can, especially in important situations, and have an answer kind of in every important situation that we like to go to.
Craig, we're talking to Jed yesterday about maybe, you know, moving towards that best 26-man roster. So I wonder if Moises fits into that or not right now, or what do you think about that move to send him down?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, like I told you on Thursday, I mean, the rosters are set daily. So, I mean, the optionable guys are important, and they're a day away always. That's how you think of it. And I think, look, still, you know, I still think we're at the point with guys that, we got to have opportunities. We got to have substantial opportunities. So that they are effective.
Congrats, finally here in the All-Star game officially.
Yeah, I mean, it's what a place for the All-Star game, man. There's no better place for the All-Star game, and I think everybody's excited about that. The players are thrilled with it. The reaction of, like, guys that get traded here, and then them knowing, you know, just talking to Willie Castro, like, knowing, like, you're getting introduced to a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley Field, like, in the summer. Like, I think it's the same thing the players feel about the All-Star game.
If it happens, we'll be here waiting. I doubt it happens. I don't want to be the negative guy.
July 27th?
People I talk to act like there's not going to be a season because there's not going to be a salary cap. Can you see a world in which there's a salary cap in Major League Baseball, knowing what you know about their union?
I can see a world where people put narratives out there, anti-labor, and then they might be met by a Bryce Harper in the clubhouse and they want to scare people. And I'll just leave it at that. So I do want to let you know that we are getting you ready for Cubs baseball. It is on the other side of this one. I want to thank everybody who was a part of it. And by that, I mean you. You helped donate $760,000 to cancer. That is a big, big deal. Be proud. It continues this weekend over at Wrigley. Thanks to Crane Kenny for telling us a lot about it, telling us about the 2027 All-Star Game. Thanks to Sahadev Sharma and his patience for joining us for that 1125 segment. And thanks to Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Connor O'Donnell, Tyler Farringwell, Jacob Stutz, and Marshall Harris. Cubs baseball is next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.